One of the things that I've learned over the years about the anointing is that it isn't dependent upon what you feel. Now I can remember the early days when Kathy and I got saved and man, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We're really excited about what God was doing in our lives, the changes that had taken place. And I would hear these preachers talk about, I feel it. I feel the anointing. Man, I was captivated by that. You do? I'm not feeling anything. But they were the preachers, you know. They're supposed to. And then I'd get around Christians, other believers, and they would talk about, oh, I feel that anointing. I feel it. And I was led to believe that you're supposed to feel something before you could pray for people. Well, I've learned that the anointing is not about what you feel. It's about your position in Christ. And I'm, you know, thinking about Jesus, it's like, well, you know, if you've got to feel something before you can pray for people, He must have been feeling stuff all the time. And the way some people went to Him for ministry, I don't know how He had time to feel anything. People just run up. My daughter, she's laying at home. She's sick. She's about to die. And Jesus looketh upon him with compassion and saith to him, yea, when I feeleth the anointing, I shall come to your home and pray for your daughter. Now Jesus looked at him and he said, I'll come and minister. And on the way there, people show up. You know, the encouragers. And they said, forget it. She's dead. And Jesus says, nah. She's not dead. That's because he was looking at that situation from a kingdom perspective, not a natural perspective. Because in the natural, she was dead. And he shows up. And all these people are out there crying and boo-hooing. And he says, you know what? She's going to live. Well, all of a sudden, they start laughing at him, making fun of him, jeering him. I mean, if anything, I would think, really? Why are you going to do that? Their compassion wasn't genuine. And so he said, you know what? Get these people out of the house. Just get them out. Get them. Can you imagine Jesus telling people to leave? You know, where's the love? Sometimes certain people need to be removed. So they've got the people out. And Jesus says, Mom and Dad, and took Peter. And they go in there and he takes her by the hand. He says, rise up. She rises up. And he says, okay, feed her. I mean, just, you know, take care of her. I don't know that he felt anything. And there's no record in Scripture that Jesus had to feel something all the time. And you know, these people that say things like, well, you know, God, sometimes he's got to teach you a lesson with this sickness and this disease. In fact, sometimes he just got to kill a few of you. Teach the survivors a lesson. Well, if the survivors are the one that need the lesson, kill them. But I know this, if that's the way God operates, he should have told Jesus before he sent Jesus to earth. Because Jesus said, I came to do the will of my Father. And then he went about healing people. He raised people from the dead. So apparently, sickness and death are not a part of the Father's plan. And all too often when we go to a doctor, I mean, why would you go to... I know common sense, I mean, you know, your annual checkup, whatever. But otherwise, the only reason we go to a doctor is because we feel like there's something's going on here. Well, you go to the doctor and the doctor checks you out and says, you're not going to make it. You have some kind of a whatever. Tells you you're going to die. How do you feel about that? Well, that's not a pleasant thing. But the Jesus who stopped death back then is still stopping death today. One of the worst things that Christians can do is allow pride to come before their willingness to receive a healing touch from God. But I've been in prayer lines before. Okay. And? Well, if I go up to another prayer line, that's a lack of faith on my part. Let me get this straight. The doctor told you you were going to die, right? Yes. How long ago did he give you that report? Well, every 4 months for the last year. He says it's getting worse. So why not get in another prayer line? Oh, brother, I don't want to demonstrate a lack of faith. Who told you it was a lack of faith to get prayed for? Who told you it was a lack of faith? I know who told you. Somebody who doesn't know what they're talking about. Listen, if I'm in a service and God says, people who have such and such, I want to touch their lives. And I know that my body is demonstrating the symptoms of such and such. I will let God touch me in that service. If that means getting in a prayer line, that's what I'll do. As I was worshiping, I heard the word terminal more than once. And I know at least one person in here is battling something. And it's not good news. I don't know what that something is. I'm not going to ask. It could be any variety of cancer. It could be AIDS. I don't know what it would be. But I know this. God wants to touch you right now. Right now. I remember I was in a service. Another church was using this building. Place was packed. I mean packed. And this other church wanted me to be a part of the ministry, deliver the word. And so I did. And the Lord spoke to me and said that there were three men who had prostate issues. And they needed to be prayed for. And you know, not one man came up. And I knew they were there. That's pride. If I go up, people are going to know. So what? So what? You really think that God's call upon your life is over now? It's not over. You have too much to do for the Lord. Well, the doctor said it's in remission. In other words, the doctor said it's still there. And he thinks it's going away. Hey, if the body is still demonstrating any kind of symptom, that stuff needs to be removed. So I don't know who you are, but the Lord wants to minister to you. I'm not going to ask for your medical diagnosis. It doesn't matter. But the Lord wants to minister to you. So who are you?